Gospel is from the Gospel of Luke, and it's chapter 2. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So that they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Loving and blessed God, we thank you again for your word. We pray, Lord, that you speak to our hearts, O God, for we seek to hear your word, God. Speak to all of us here, God, our Lord, for we all need your word in our hearts. Loving God, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. You know, this is, again, one of those passages we read every year. And as somebody asked me that some time ago this year, says, "Pastor, why do we keep repeating those same readings? I mean, we know the stories. Amen? We know what's happening here. We know what has happened. We sort of know the story." But I keep finding that the more we read the passage, something else comes up and something else that the Lord says to us every time we read the same passage. Every time we read the same story, something God brings to our attention. And sometimes it's just little details, little things we read. We've spoken here about the fact that who were the shepherds and what kind of people the shepherds were. And as we have said in the past, we'll just repeat again, these were not exactly the people we would have trusted. These were not folks who were considered to be upstanding citizens in Jewish society. They were considered to be unclean, and I don't mean that because they didn't bathe. I mean that in the sense of liturgical or as ritualistic clean, because, of course, of their job. So these are some of those folks who, by the job that they had, by the kind of work that they were doing, they were a group of people who were ostracized from Jewish society in general, because, of course, they were not keeping up with the laws of the Scripture as it related specifically to keeping clean. So you have a group of people who are already know that they're not exactly welcome in usual in gatherings, in family gatherings, in communal gatherings, because of their situation. And it was so much so that in ancient history, we find that stories about shepherds is that they were not even allowed to testify, give witness in a jury situation or in a court case, because they were not reliable witnesses. So very much like women at the time. And remember what we talked about Mary and what Mary's status was in this time. So that we have the story of Mary on the one hand, the woman who was not exactly somebody that would have been of any special attraction in Jewish society in the first century. And now we find these folks who are shepherds who are not exactly either in a good standing in the sense of being people of merit according to social standards. But it is to them, it is to them that actually God decided to reveal God's self. It is to them that God decides to bring the news about who is to be born. Now, you and I know that if we want something to go wild and information in terms of something important going on and something important being revealed or being exposed, you will go to the people who have power to communicate, right? You will go to social media. You will put it on Facebook, of course, today. At that time, might not have been social media like that or Facebook, but there were other ways of communicating. And you will go specifically to people who have the means to be able to communicate the message. I mean, if God was so interested in having the world know that Jesus is the Savior of the world, and at least of the Jewish people, if not the whole world, it would have been something about bringing this information to the people who have power to make it happen. Wouldn't you agree? Right? So you would go to the high priest, you will go to the Pharisees, you will go with the people who have the means to be able to communicate this to the rest of the population. You will go and spread the news. You will have taken the angels and you would have gone to the high priest and have a great thing, great event like what happened with the shepherds, and the angels will come to the high priest and communicate to the high priest and all the leadership of the people of Israel about this great thing that has happened. Amen? Wouldn't that be the case? You know, looking at this from the human perspective, of course, we would do that because we believe that if you want an action to take place and if we want change to take place, we go to the right people so that the right people will give the information and the news will be spreading all over. But God decided to go to the nobodies. God decided to go to the people who were nobodies, who had no influence, who had no power. And we hear in the story that they have gathered the information, they went, they witnessed, they saw. It was promised to them, this is good news for you, that today in the city of David, the Savior is born. Why just go to these folks who have no power, no way of making any difference in that society of the time? As a matter of fact, we know that they didn't have much influence because after this event, we find that Jesus just simply stayed put in Nazareth. Well, in this case, Bethlehem at this point, and then move on to Nazareth. And he just grew up like everybody else would grow up in that town. And we don't know anything about him until he turns about 30. Amen? And that's what we know of the story. So clearly, the message to the shepherds did not make a big inroads in that society. But God decided to tell the story to the shepherds, to the nobodies, because we needed to learn. We needed to learn from the shepherds that it's not about who has power, but the fact that it's God who has the power. We need to learn from the shepherds, and we need to learn in this story of these simple shepherds that they have received the message that is a message that is truly revolutionary, transformational, really scary. Let me just give you a simple example of how scary this was. If you were to hear this at that time in Palestine, the angels are saying to the shepherds, do not be afraid. And you know what happens when you hear that, right? Do not be afraid. It's like, don't think about an elephant, right? And the first thing you do is you think about an elephant. Do not be afraid. They were terrified. And then they hear this word from the angel saying, you know, today in the city of David, the Savior has been born. And you will go and find him, the Messiah, the Lord. Now, we have read this so many times that it means very little to us today because, of course, we automatically read this as Lord, Messiah, Savior, and we already know those words, and so it doesn't mean much to us. But I need you to hear this from a different perspective. Let's say from the perspective of first century. So you hear the word that this guy is a savior. In Greek, the word for savior is soter. Now, soter, of course, has profound implications for Jewish people at this time. For, of course, the idea of a savior, especially a savior coming from the same lineage of David and being born in the city of David, had implications about political realities. So this is the Savior that has been promised that is coming from the city of David. It comes from a descendant of David and has political implications. He is going to save us from our oppressors. And then on top of that, the words that are used by the angels in the story tells us even further to explain this. This is going to be the Messiah. Now, in Greek, of course, you've heard this before, but let me repeat it. The Messiah in Greek is Christ, or Christos. And what it means is simply the anointed one, the one who has been anointed by God to do God's will, and in this case, to bring salvation to his people. Now, the compounding of words here is important because, you see, the Messiah is not simply Jesus' last name. Amen? It's not Jesus Christos or Jesucristo or Jesus Christ. Actually, Jesus the Christ means that this is the one who is the anointed one of God. And then, just to pound this message even further, the angels tells us that he is the Lord. Ho Kyrios. And at that time, that title was only given to the emperor. He was the only one who will be considered to be Lord. So that we have here that this child that has been born in this place under these conditions happened to be the one who is bringing salvation to the world, happens to be the one who is bringing the anointing of God into our midst by him being the anointed one, and is also the one who is Lord of all, Lord of everything, so that there is no other Lord above him. So not even Caesar is Lord. For Jesus, the one who has been born in the city of David, is the Lord of the world, is the Lord for the land. And here, of course, a proclamation. Imagine you hearing this from that context. Now, wouldn't you like to go and see who this guy is? I would love to go and see this guy. If I was at this place and the angels came and told me this in this kind of language, I would have gone running to the place to see who is this child that has been born. This is the one who brings hope to the world. This is the one who in the message of being sent is bringing hope to the world, the hope of salvation, the hope that something is going to be different in the world. Something is not going to be the same as it used to be. For this one is the one that God has sent to make a difference in the world. And he did not go to the powerful and the mighty. He went to the poor and destitute. For to those is whom the angel brought the message. That maybe tells us a story about what God wants to do with those who are like the shepherds, the nobodies in our society. Maybe God has a plan for the nobodies of our society. Maybe God has a purpose for the people who are nobodies in our society, whom God has called because God makes somebody of the ones who are nobodies. If there is anyone who can make somebody out of nobody, is God. Amen? And this God says, yes, you are somebody. Not because of what you do, not because of who you are, but because of the grace of God, who wants to make you somebody. For this God, you are somebody. Tonight, as we celebrate the birthday of our Lord, we thank God, for this God has made us somebody because of his grace, because of his mercy. You are somebody in the presence of God, in the sight of God, not because of what you have done, but because of God's amazing grace for you.